Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
And yes, here we are from a very, very warm Naples, Florida. Here we are. It's Saturday night, not Sunday. I'm all confused, but we're here and we're ready to talk sports. And I'm going to shut up and turn it over to Chris because we got a lot of material tonight, the night before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, everybody, welcome to Groundhog Day. Actually, we're getting a weird little thing. We're getting an echo on our line, but I don't think it's going to affect the podcast. It probably won't. So we'll just.
I hope not.
Well, it probably will, but.
We'll see. We're just going to do. You just go. Show number 27. We've done a half a year of these things now, so we might get good. I don't know, but we're trying. Anyhow, tonight we're going to be talking football, of course. Tomorrow with the Super Bowl. It's by this time we just about halftime of the Super Bowl. It's going to start at 6:30 Eastern time, and then we'll be doing football, of course. We've got some football news. We'll do NBA basketball and college basketball. We got the NHL. We've got baseball. Just as the general potpourri of various things. So, but first, we're going to have Sean tell everybody the facts and figures about this program.
All right. First of all, if you want to listen to our man, Ringside Robert, who is here again, you can download the Ringside Reporter podcast or dial 773-572-7781. Also, if you want to leave a voicemail message for us at any time, if you're listening, call 773-572-7715, and do not mark the message private. That way we can get to you and hear the message. Also, if you're listening before the Super Bowl and you want to hear about where all the channels are and everything, you listen, dial 641-715-3800. Then do 36867 pound and follow the prompts, and Perry will direct you and give you all the stuff. Now, what are we going to start off with first, guys?
Well, probably the NFL. Everybody's focused on the NFL right now. All roads have led to Atlanta. We've got a big contingent of Patriots fans. As a matter of fact, I heard both WEI and the Sports Hub were doing parties. Davio's for the sports for EEI. And Hudson Bar and Grill in downtown Atlanta for the Sports Hub, and they were both on opposite each other. And this has become a tradition here with our sports stations hosting parties in the cities where the Super Bowls have been. And so they did that and had a lot of people, of course, from their station come in and so forth. And Patriots, I heard, did not have a practice today. They just had a walk. They let their families come down and on the field and so forth. I'm not sure what the Rams did today, but the Patriots figured they were pretty much ready, so they just kind of petered out and just had a fun family day. I'm sure they're locking it down tonight and then get into their normal routine. But we've had some football news, and Perry, you might want to run down some of that.
Right. The MVP has been announced, and the MVP of the league is none other than Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Second place finisher was Drew Brees. Now, all this is going to be announced on CBS. So if you're listening live, you're going to hear it before it goes on TV. So yes. Mahomes is the MVP.
A Sports Lounge Live exclusive here.
Yes. The rookies of the year, Leonard of the Colts is the defensive rookie of the year, and Saquon Barkley of the Giants is the offensive rookie of the year. And we have our Hall of Fame class, and I have memorized some of them, and they are, we have Tony Gonzalez is in, Champ Bailey is in, Ed Reed is in, among others.
Ty Law
is in. So there's the four of them of the Hall of
there's
Fame.
There's eight of them in there. There's eight Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there's eight. Right. We only got four right now, though.
Oh, they only announced four.
Maybe that's what they're going to do. They're going to announce. Maybe they release those four. They're going to announce those four.
Also, Gil Brandt got elected.
Oh, Gil Brandt. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. And of course, now tomorrow, you know, when you mentioned Ty Law, it really brings it back, because tomorrow is the 17th, and I said this before last week, but I want to emphasize it, 17th anniversary to the day of when all this Brady Belichick stuff started on the national stage, when the Patriots beat the Rams in Super Bowl, 36, I guess it was. And so 17 years ago, February 3rd of 2002, and Ty Law, of course, scored a touchdown, intercepting a ball in the second quarter and running it in. So there you go. That's kind of a big anniversary for all the Patriots fans. And the slogan actually really is, besides Beat L.A., which Boston fans love to yell about the Lakers or the Dodgers last fall, it's we're still here. In other words, can't get rid of us. We're back again. And so we'll see what happens. Perry, you as a Ram fan, how do you see the game going?
Yeah, I see it being a close game, to be honest, but if somebody were to say, and obviously, if I were saying it with my heart, I want the Rams, but if somebody were telling me, hey, put a 20 down and bet the game, I would probably bet the Patriots, because I think probably the Rams, if they start the way they did against the Saints a couple of weeks ago, the Patriots are not going to kick field goals like that. They're going to get touchdowns. And in a lot of ways, that's what, you know, people can say, hey, it was that one call that beat the Saints. Well, field goals as opposed to touchdowns also did it.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, and the way the Patriots started in the opposite, the Patriots came out and rammed it right down the Chiefs' throat, and nobody had really done that to the Chiefs. The first quarter was the Chiefs' quarter. I mean, they really had dominated that quarter. So the Patriots, all of a sudden, before you got set down good, as Andy Griffith said, and what it was football, before you did that, the Patriots were up 14-0, and the Chiefs, you've got to give the Chiefs a lot of credit for coming back and getting to overtime and doing all they did, because when you're down 14-0, that's not easy to do. And so I think it's always crazy. The Super Bowl always starts in a strange way. Something weird always seems to happen the first quarter or so. And then you say, wow, it's a whole different game than I expected. But, you know, one of the things we were going to talk about later, and we can do it now if you want, talk about our favorite Super Bowl memories, either of our teams being there or whatever. I got a few Super Bowl memories that I'd like to think about.
And by the way, as we do that, if you want to talk to us, if you're listening and you're in the room, you're welcome to do so. *6 raises your hand. No, *6 mute. Which one mutes us, John?
*6 mutes you and unmutes you. *9 raises your hand. Alt-Y raises your hand if you're on the computer. And if you're not in the room, you are welcome to come into the room by either cutting down the Zoom app and doing 646-876-9923. And then when you're in here, you do 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key twice, and you are here, folks.
I need to make a quick note, Perry. Just a quick note. Robert, if you can do something different, then I can put you back online, but your phone line is doing something to everyone else. If there's some feedback or something that you can take care of, I can put you right back on. And it's not an intentional thing, so
yeah,
go ahead.
Well, they're having severe weather out where he is, so that may be something wrong with the whole phone system out where he is right now. That
could be
for it.
Yeah.
Super Bowl memories. That is an interesting topic. So Chris, why don't you go first? And
I'll start.
We'll
remember all 53 of them. 52. It'll be 53 tomorrow night.
Just don't talk about that one 17 years ago.
I kind of do have to bring that up. But
the wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, there's that. But, the first Super Bowl was, of course, January 15th, 1967, and it was when the Packers beat the Chiefs 35-10, and it was on both CBS and NBC television. And the only other game that's done that in the NFL history and the NFL Network at this other time was the last game of the regular season with the Patriots and Giants, which happened to be a Super Bowl preview, as it turned out. We didn't know that. On the Saturday night between Christmas and New Year's of 2007 going to 2008. And, of course, the Patriots are going for the undefeated regular season. So it came on NBC, CBS, and NFL Network. And we had the two radio broadcasts, too, I don't remember who did it on NBC Radio. It was either Charlie Jones or Jim Simpson, but I know that Jack Dreeves did it on CBS Radio. And, you know, and of course on TV, we had Kurt Gowdy and whoever was with him at that point, and Ray Scott over on CBS. So anyway, there's that. And then some of the first real close Super Bowl, finally in Super Bowl V, there have been blowouts. And most Super Bowls have been blowouts. You wouldn't know it from the last 15 years. Close games, you know, but they were. The people used to say, when are we going to get a good Super Bowl? Well, there was one in 71 when the Colts beat the Cowboys with the last second field goal. But there's that. I remember the first Patriots one when they lost 46-10 to the Bears. I remember we had a big Super Bowl party, and I got the biggest bag of popcorn I ever saw in my life. I don't know where my wife found it, but it was humongous. And that was great. And then, of course, the Patriots then made it back in 97. But other Super Bowls, that's right. We had the 20-17 game where the Patriots beat the Rams. The wardrobe malfunction in Houston in 2004 with Janet Jackson.
I remember that one.
Yep. Yeah, we had who was it that messed up the words of the national anthem a few years ago? I can't think of her name.
There's been a few of those. I'm trying to remember the Super Bowl.
Of course, there was that. And, of course, the great Steelers Super Bowl, the first Rams Super Bowl that they were ever in, they were playing the Steelers. And they lost 31-19 in Super Bowl, 13, I guess it was. And then, of course, they had their close win with the Titans, and that was a heck of a game, boy. That was what was the score of that, Perry? It was like a four-point win, right?
It was a seven-point win because, remember, the Rams went down and scored, and then the Titans got the ball back and took the ball clear down to the one-yard line, and Mike Jones made the stop for a 23-16 win. And that, of course, would be one of my biggest Super Bowl memories. Probably my most depressing Super Bowl then was the year after that, which Chris already mentioned. It was the year that the Rams lost to the Patriots.
Right.
Now, in the 80s, of course, not many of the Super Bowls were any good. So,
is that even better, guys?
Yes.
Yeah,
that was much better.
So in the 80s, not many of the Super Bowls were any good, but then we got into the 2000s. In the 2000s, we've had good Super Bowls.
They've basically all been good. All the Patriots Super Bowls in this run have been close, have been under 7 points. I'm not sure, at least under 7 points. And so if history is a guide, tomorrow should be a close game. No matter how it may start out, who gets off to a good start, that's just what the Patriots are in these days. And, of course, there's that David Tyree catch with the Patriots and Giants. There's so many things. The Malcolm Butler interception. So many amazing plays in the Super Bowl that have turned the game around. And now we're getting that echo back again, Robert.
We are. And I think, let's see if I get this right. Dick has raised his hand and would like to talk to us. Dick, go ahead.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Dick.
Greetings, everybody. You're talking about Super Bowls. Yeah, I remember that first one, and was it Paul Chrisman with Kurt Gowdy or LT?
Yes, I think he still was, yeah.
Because Chrisman died rather suddenly at a pretty young age.
He did.
On the upside, you had Ray Scott with some guy named Whitaker. He was a New York guy.
Oh, Jack Whitaker, yeah, who used to do the Giants, too. And the thing is about Paul Chrisman, he, of course, worked with Ray Scott the last couple of years. He went over to NBC, and they brought in, I think, Kyle Rote to work with Kurt Gowdy at that point. But Paul Chrisman did work with Ray Scott the last couple of years. But you're right, he died right after the 69-70 football, right in January of 70, I think, right after the Super Bowl.
He was a really good analyst, too.
Yeah.
One thing I just read yesterday, and I found this really interesting. After the Super Bowl in 73, when the Dolphins went 17-0 for that 72 season, and they beat Washington, there was a discussion of a rule change at the owners' meetings, and the Redskins wanted a best of three, 2 out of 3.
Oh, man.
They had won Super Bowl. Definitely was rejected.
Yes, that's good. I mean, these guys have enough trouble playing one game, and you know, it's so hard. People, talk about, and, this is the kind of discussion we'll get into the off season about, going to 18 games or doing this and that. And, if you're going to do that, then you're going to have to expand the rosters. There's so many injuries. This game is not easy to play. And for anybody to even, think about playing 2 out of 3 for a Super Bowl, wow.
That's just, no, I mean, 18 games, I would like to see that if they eliminate the two, but 2 out of 3 for a Super Bowl, no, I mean, that's just weird. But,
yeah.
And anything else, Dick?
Well, I wonder what you guys think. We're talking about all the injuries. I mean, If I had kids, I don't. But if I had a son, I would want him playing football.
Yeah.
I can get into that. We can get into that at a time. But I will say this. For me, I was always told you don't let them play tackle football at least until junior high at the earliest. But now they're starting tackle football in peewee and 6, 7, 8 year olds. That's because the biggest problem, you know, you can learn football. You learn the fundamentals before you should even be tackling. And by the time they get up to the NFL, they've been injured because they've been tackling since they were 7. So that is a huge, huge problem. My dad used to talk about it. Bill Walsh said that back in the late 80s on TV. He said, no, they should not be tackling, maybe flag football, but don't even tackle. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he'd prefer high school, but he said at the earliest middle school, junior high.
Right.
Today they really do emphasize safety, and that's – with the concussions and all that, they really probably now they do the best job they've ever done at that.
Yeah, I'm going to say one thing. I was thinking about safety and so forth, and I said this last night in the conference. I mentioned I was going to bring it out here. Everybody, keep your eyes on Ndamukong Suh, because I am telling you, his goal tomorrow, his goal is to injure Tom Brady. That's what he wants to do. I'm telling you, that's the way he plays. Now, he was pretty quiet in the Rams game, the Saints game and the Cowboys game, but they, of course, he was in the division with the Patriots for a while, and they used to have a lot going back and forth with the offensive line and him and his cohorts with Miami, and he is going to come in there, and he's going to try to make some plays, he's going to try to make tackle, but he's going to try to injure Brady,
And to be fair, he has behaved himself very well the whole season this year, so
yes,
I hope
that's exactly why.
He does. So I hope, Chris, that you're wrong and we don't see anything like that.
I know, but the Super Bowl is the biggest stage, though. That's the problem, and that's what makes me think he may just go off the rails again, you know?
Yeah. I don't think he was.
As an unbiased fan, I'll go ahead, since you kind of made for it, I will say it's going to be Rams 27, Patriots 24.
Okay. Well, I got 31-27 Patriots, so similar kind of game. I got the Patriots 31-27.
I think Bill was going to say something there.
I'm just going to say something real quick. I don't know that he has the ability to do the things that you might give him credit for, Chris. I'm not sure he's the player he was. And by the way, main reason, I believe, is in the meeting, too. So anytime you want to rely.
We're talking about Super Bowl memories and the Super Bowl in general, main reason.
I came just after it started. I've been present. You covered a lot of my memories. A lot of those, of course, there needs to be a little bit more of a highlight for that Super Bowl 34 touchdown, essentially game stealing touchdown, Isaac Bruce from Kurt Warner, and also, of course, the tackle Mike Jones.
Right.
Preventing a game-time touchdown that would have sent the game into overtime.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. No, there's been some good games, and I think we're going to have one tomorrow. I think most people are expecting a close game.
I think of the Bills losing the 4 Super Bowls in a row, which never happened before.
Yep. Well, Scott Norwood, thank goodness he's not a GOAT. You know, he did a lot of good work for the Bills. I think Bills fans generally understand that, they outplayed him. They should have won the game. Yeah, you can put it on him. However, I think that they look back at him with fondness because of so many things he did do. And it's so hard to get to 4. With the Patriots with 4 out of 5 now, it's hard to get to 4 straight Super Bowls. That is not easy at all.
It is. Robert, go ahead and talk to us real quick because that echo is back.
Yeah, okay. Well, again, we're having bad weather here. I'm assuming that's the difficulty I'm having. But as far as my Super Bowl prediction, I'm picking 31-28 Patriots. And when we cover the hockey and the basketball, I'll be back. I'll go ahead and mute myself.
Okay. But before you go, because since you're a Raiders fan, maybe you got some Super Bowl memories of the Raiders. Because everybody forgets they were even in the game. They haven't been in so long, but they sure were early on.
The last time that they were in it was 2003, and I'd like to forget that. They lost Super Bowl II, but the ones I remember the most are 11, 15, and 18, and those are the three that we won. Of course, 11, we beat the Vikings, and Fred Blitnikoff was named the MVP, and Willie Brown picked off and he scored the last touchdown of the game. And then 15, they went to New Orleans, and They partied and did what the old Raiders used to do, and Dick Vermeil had the Eagles in lockdown. They couldn't go out and do anything, and of course, the Raiders were relaxed, and they played, and the Eagles were so tight they didn't know what to do.
Yep,
and then, then in 18, when they played the Redskins in Tampa Bay, it was the Marcus Allen show. He basically took the game over, and Joe Theismann made several mistakes, and of course, that's the last one we ever won. So
that was a shocker. I remember being shocked by that game. I really expected the Redskins to win that. The other thing that was happening while the Super Bowl 15 was going on, the hostages came home to this country. They landed, I think, during that game.
They sure did.
Yep. So
I will go ahead and mute myself so the echo
can go away. And just to finish up the Super Bowl. Just to finish up the Super Bowl memories, you know, a lot of them do have to do with the country's situation. The two that come to mind, the three, just mentioned the one with the hostages, the one in 91, the first Bills Giants when we'd just gone into the war, you know, the Gulf War, and Whitney Houston sang the national anthem, one of the most thrilling renditions of the national anthem we've ever had in sports, I think, and everybody really got into that. And also that Patriots Super Bowl when they came out as a team, the first team to do that. Now every team does it. They'll both do it tomorrow. But they came out as a team, and, you know, that was right after 9/11, and there was a lot of thought about everybody that was lost in 9/11 and the war in Afghanistan. And, you know, so I think those are the three that, you know, we think about the situation in the world, you know, with those.
I think, Chris, a minute ago when we brought in Robert, I think, I don't know if Main Reason had anything else, but if you did, Main Reason, go ahead. The reason I brought in Robert, I don't know if you're hearing it, but there was an echo, and that I wanted to get him in so that that echo would be out of my ear. So if you have anything, Main Reason, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, I have been. The memories, as far as the Super Bowl itself, I actually expect it to be a pretty high-scoring game. I have 41-31 in favor of the Rams, obviously. And I think this will be a Super Bowl of plays. I think this will be a Super Bowl of playmakers. Maybe the offenses aren't on point as we, but there will be, you know, intercept. This is a strip sack. This is a pick six type of game, in my opinion. The Rams have so many playmakers, and I think this is why they end up winning this game by double digits. It may be close at some point, but a lot of people, when they analyze this game, they say, except for the Patriots' experience, these teams are evenly matched. And I disagree. I think these teams are evenly matched only because of the Patriots' experience. I think when it comes to talent, I think if you would have ranked the top 10 players on these teams, talent alone, not necessarily reputation, you're going to have a lot more Rams in that top 10 than, you know, obviously Brady is number one, and then probably five or six, seven of the remainder will be Rams. And I think those playmakers will be the difference in the game. And of course, I have respect for Belichick and his ability to adjust and what he'll scheme and game plan. But that's how I see. I see a lot of big plays occurring in this game.
And being a Rams fan, Main Reason, I think we would agree that the Rams defense is better than it's been in a long, long time.
Well, two straight games where they've held impressive run attacks to under 50 yards, Ezekiel Elliott of Dallas and that combination of Kamara and Ingram in New Orleans. And, you know, the Patriots don't have names of that caliber as far as overall talent, but we know how they scheme and how they use that three-headed monster. The Rams defense, the Rams team is peaking at the right at the right time, even though they're not really getting credit for it, because most analysts and pundits, because of the experience of Brady, don't really give the Rams a chance in this game. Because
another thing that's kind of taken away from the Rams, and it's not the Rams' fault, but it's what Perry brought up early, that a lot of people are saying, well, the Saints really should be here. And, you know, that kind of takes away from the Rams. That's kind of what happened with the Patriots with the tuck rule. You know, when you get in there from something like that, people, that was more of a discount. The Rams are heavily favored in that game. And you get in on a call like that, or the people look at the Saints call, and it kind of, you know, lessens, even though you're talking about the talent. And you may be right if you sat down and I haven't really done it that way, but to sit down and talk with the top 10 players, or seven of them Rams, or how would it go? That might be. But, of course, it's the team that wins. It's the schemes, like you say. And
that's true.
And so that may nullify that. But I think the Rams are being sort of dissed a little bit, and it's nothing they could have controlled. They were 0-8 with that referee, Blakeman, and they got their biggest win ever against them.
Bill Vinovich was the Rams referee.
Bill Vinovich, okay. Yeah. And they got their biggest win. But anyway, anybody else want to
another colors?
Another reason for that. We do not have any hands at this point. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Mary Rachel. Go ahead.
Another reason for that that lack of respect is possibly the fact that the Rams in LA, that market and that team in that market hasn't quite matured. So as the season unfolded, I always, as a Rams fan, felt that the Rams were only discussed because they were winning. It wasn't because people were enamored with them. Or, for instance, rightfully so, MVP winning Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, they got a lot of accolades, even though the Rams were scoring on that same level as a team and beat the Chiefs in a thrilling game. And Drew Brees was accomplishing a lot during the season as he hit milestone after milestone. And so it seemed to me that the Rams never truly got accoladed as being one of the best teams in the NFL, except for being obligated to acknowledge them because they were winning games.
Right. So do we have any more on the Super Bowl? We want to start getting to our basketball and hockey.
Let's get some basketball. Let's jump right over to basketball.
We got main reason here, so he can comment when we get through with these standings.
When you put up your hand, if you want to talk about the Super Bowl, you're welcome to do that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So we got the NBA standings as they were going into today, and we've had a few little flip-flops in the East here. Milwaukee is now in first place at 37-13. Toronto now 37-16, and as we would say in baseball, three behind in the all-important loss column. So, we'll see about that. Philadelphia, number three at 34-18. The Celtics are now number four at 33-19. And Indiana, of course, having lost Victor Oladipo, is now dropped to number five at 32-19. Brooklyn, 28-25 in sixth place. Charlotte, number seven, 25-26. Miami, 24-26. And that's the end of our playoff team. And we have a bit of a drop-off. Detroit, who lost today, we'll talk about that in a minute. Going into this, they're 22-28. Washington, 22-29. Orlando, 21-31. Then we have a big drop to the Hawks at 16-35. Chicago, 12-40. And we're getting to the real old dogs here. Chicago, 12-40. Cleveland, 11-41. And the Knicks, who I think have lost 10 in a row, are now 10-41. And the Eastern playoff pairings right now, number one and eight and four and five. So Milwaukee's number one. They would be meeting Miami. The Celtics at number four would be hosting Indiana right now. And then Toronto at number two would be hosting Charlotte at number seven. And Philadelphia would be hosting the Nets. Philadelphia at three and Brooklyn at six. In the West, we have Denver at 36-15, tied with Golden State at 36-15, but the edge in the standings was given to Denver. Oklahoma City at 33-18, number three. We have Portland at 32-20 at number four. San Antonio, 31-22 at five. Houston, number six, 29-22. Utah at 30-23 is seven. The Clippers, who won a game against Detroit tonight, 28-24. Then we drop down to the Lakers, right behind them, just out of the playoff picture, at 27-25. Sacramento is, number 10, and their record is 26-25. Minnesota, 25-26. We have Dallas at 23-28. New Orleans starting to drop back a little, 23-29. Well, Memphis is the one that's starting to struggle at 20-33. And Phoenix, totally out of it, 11-42. The Western pairings would be Denver at number one, meeting the Clippers at number eight. Portland at number four, meeting San Antonio at number five. Golden State number two with Utah at number seven. And Oklahoma City is three and Houston is six. So we did, as I said, and this was a big comeback by the Clippers. They were down by 25 points and they ended up coming back in Detroit and beating the Pistons 111-101, pulling away from them. Here's the upcoming games. Well, some of them are in progress. At seven, we had Chicago starting against Charlotte. These are all Eastern. Brooklyn at Orlando, Milwaukee at Washington. Starting at 7:30, we had Dallas and Cleveland, Indiana at Miami. At 8:30, we have New Orleans and San Antonio. the prime time game on ABC tonight, opposite your NFL awards show that we were talking about, is the Lakers and Golden State. At 9 o'clock, we have Denver at Minnesota, Atlanta at Phoenix, and then Houston is at Utah, and the last game is Philadelphia at Sacramento. So main reason you're our NBA
before we do that, Chris, okay. A couple things. Number one, LeBron James is not going to play tonight because of load management. And number two, Jerry raised his hand. So, Jerry, go ahead.
Okay, we're talking about Super Bowl memories. I certainly was proud and can't forget about that great Eagles win last year.
That's
right. And it kind of full circle with me because I remember I got to see the Eagles be the champions twice. Got to see it, in 1960, the day after Christmas, when they beat the Green Bay Packers, and, of course, last year in the Super Bowl.
Yes, and that's the only playoff loss that Vince Lombardi ever had as a coach in the NFL, was that loss to the Eagles. And then they come around and beat, I think everybody pretty much looks at their history and says, Lombardi 1, Belichick 2, Belichick 1, Lombardi 2, whatever you want to say about the coaches in the NFL history. And so the Eagles have two big feathers in their caps from having beaten Belichick last year and Lombardi in 1960. You're absolutely right, Jerry.
How about that?
Yeah.
We're not ready for college basketball yet.
We got to talk about
the big trade, of course, and we had to talk our man D-Train down off the ledge the other night. Of course, we had the big trade going down. Kristaps Porzingis, along with Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr., draft pick going to Dallas, DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., and there was another player in there, but there were draft picks exchanged. Basically, and Mavericks, and the Knicks dealing, they're wanting DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews for some, they're wanting them for cap space because their contracts expire and they say they're going to go. But Wesley Matthews not happy in Dallas. Dennis Smith Jr. not happy in Dallas. Kristaps said he didn't want to be in either New York team. So, and Dallas, man, that, I don't know, man. If he comes back half the player that he is, man, you got to watch out for these Mavericks, man.
I think if we're going to discuss this, everyone needs to put on paper booties and gloves to cover their feet and their shoes and their hands, because this is a crime scene. This is a crime scene, and the Mavericks, they pulled off a heist. And whenever you examine a trade in any sport, you always pay attention to who got the best player. And Kristaps is still young and a transcendent talent. And the injury that he's suffering is one that the NBA has a history of having players recover from. So there's some concern, but not that much. And whereas Dennis Smith Jr., he still has he has a ceiling. He has his future ahead of him. But this is not Kristaps Porzingis. He's not a player on that level, and the Dallas Mavericks still have possible control over Kristaps financially because he could be a restricted free agent. So this, whenever you were able to get an asset like that, and the Mavericks didn't give up anything that they were concerned about because they were looking to move Dennis Smith Jr. anyway, what was being said at the time is that they couldn't find takers for him, and DeAndre Jordan, they're acknowledging, was a mistake, and Wesley Matthews didn't really fit into their plan. Along with that, with getting this transcendent talent, whether he plays this year or next, they also filled out their roster with Trey Burke, who I think was the player that Sean couldn't remember. Burke started out as a role playing point guard coming out of Michigan off of the championship, but after coming to the Knicks, Trey Burke has turned into a force at the point guard position. I think the Mavericks now have their starting point guard, and there's no concern of him being at odds with Luka Doncic because he's probably willing to accept his role. And they got Tim Hardaway Jr., who on this team, now that he's not required to be the number one player, he gets better the farther down the pecking order you place him. If he's number two, he's a good player. If he's number three, he's a great player. And the better he is, the more palatable his contract is. The Mavericks have retooled their entire team, and Kristaps may be on the horizon later this year or next year. This was a heist, and there's no guarantee that the Knicks are going to sign any of these players. When was the last time the Knicks got a major free agent?
Really? Hold on, guys.
Robert raised his hand. Robert, go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to make sure you acknowledged me before I brought the echo back in. I agree with Main Reason. This was a total ripoff, and I can't believe the way this went down. And I read in the paper today, Kristaps Porzingis will not play at all this year.
Right.
And Mark Cuban has already said they're working on a new contract for him. They want to keep him long term, and he will be in the starting lineup beginning next year. But I can't believe the way this went down. And he basically went in, Porzingis went into the Knicks offices and flat out said, even though I haven't played for you all year, I don't like what the direction this team is going in. I want to be traded immediately. I want nothing to do.
Can you blame him?
Yeah, no, I can't.
Okay.
I cannot. And look, my Warriors, they may win a title this year, but I think the Warriors dynasty is coming to an end because I don't see DeMarcus Cousins being back next year. I don't see Kevin Durant being back next year. There is a lot of locker room tension with this group, unlike in years past. It seems like Green is causing a lot of issues in the locker room, and the Warriors team, as you see it now, I don't think it'll be the same next year.
What do you guys think of the Anthony Davis rumors this week?
Oh, well, I don't know if my echo is still here. So
when you talk, it's okay. We're just letting you talk, Robert, because when we talk, the echo comes back. But while you talk, it's okay.
It's a computer. It's all right. I think the way that the thing was brought out was bizarre. But I do think that if New Orleans wants to get anything for him, they are going to have to make a trade. And it looks like he's boxing them into a corner because he's flat out told everybody, I'm not re-signing with anybody unless it's the Lakers. But I don't know if the Lakers can give them enough so they can get Anthony Davis to L.A. I don't know how Main Reason sees that, but I think it's going to be a very difficult because they've already made two or three offers, and New Orleans has already rejected them. So
right, they have. But Robert, what's going on here is the Lakers are playing games. The Lakers are not. They're playing games. They feel that because Rich Paul, who's Anthony Davis' agent and LeBron's agent, a clutch sport, because they've orchestrated this, because they've come out and said that he wants to go to the Lakers, that obligates the Pelicans to trade for whatever the Lakers are willing to give. The Lakers have not made a serious offer. Any offer that they make with the Pelicans will have to start with all three youngsters and Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, and Brandon Ingram. And as of yet, the Lakers haven't done that. When the Lakers become serious about making a trade, it may happen. But the Pelicans are very willing to sit this out and wait until the summer and see what other teams are willing to give them. And the one mistake I think that the Lakers camp is making is these teams are showing recently that they're not intimidated by a player saying that he's not going to resign. Kawhi Leonard was traded for under those circumstances with Toronto. Paul George ended up going to OKC under those circumstances, and he stayed, and we don't know what Kawhi will do. So teams are willing to take a one-year rental knowing that a player may change his mind, and if nothing else, by the time the trade deadline comes around again, I can trade.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Lakers want Anthony Davis, they have to come with a legitimate offer, including, you know, as if they had to woo him, because the Pelicans are more inclined not to trade with the Lakers because of the perception of the NBA, what the Lakers are trying to do, and rather than being forced to give them Anthony Davis because he's boxed them in this corner.
And, you know, and reportedly, Greg Popovich talked to the GM of New Orleans and told him, he basically said, don't answer your phone. Don't let him push you around because he's a disciple. Dale, what's his name? Dale. But he's a disciple. Yeah. That's right, yeah. But he talked to him reportedly and said, don't let him push you. Don't let them back into a corner. You know, this is the way. You know, don't let him. You know, Kawhi tried this on us. Don't let it happen.
Well, that's another side angle to this is as I said before, the league is not in favor of how the Lakers and Clutch Sports and LeBron have conducted this. So there's, to some extent, pressure on Dale Demps not to do this deal. But also, Dale Demps is the general manager that David Stern, the final commissioner, I mean the former commissioner of the league, came out about 3-4 months ago or so and said that he's a horrible GM, and people haven't forgotten that. So he has to be really careful how he conducts this. But I do think that if the Lakers offer legitimate offers to the Hornets, to the Pelicans rather, I think then the deal will go down before February 7th. But it won't start until the Lakers are serious.
I think one thing that, you know, we talk about tonight and LeBron not playing, this is not going over well in the NBA offices. It, you know, look, you've got an 82-game schedule, and I know you talk about load, and this one's in and out. Hey, Kyrie's been out a lot. They've found small injuries, but he's been out because of that kind of thing. I'm sure it's load as much as it is the little injuries that he, you know, a strained hip or whatever they'll tell you he's got. But this is a primetime game. Hello. You know, didn't the league kind of tell these teams when you're going to go on national television, we really want your players in the game?
And it's interesting that LeBron is doing this because last season he played all 82. So up until now, LeBron has kind of shied away from that. Now, he did have an injury earlier, but you wonder how much whether or not he's playing has anything to do with the fallout and peripherals of this Anthony Davis trade with his agency essentially being involved. Like, I don't know if that's the case, but I think all of that is curious with him not playing because I think that injury should have healed by now.
Yeah. Okay, well, we got college basketball, a bunch of finals. Of course, Saturday afternoon, there's always a lot of college basketball. There's still some tonight. We're not going to go through that whole schedule, but we've got a bunch of finals today. It's a very interesting one. Nobody really necessarily knows that Duke and St. John's play every year, either at the Garden or at Cameron Indoor Stadium. This year it was at Cameron, and Duke showed it was at Cameron. They beat St. John's 91-61. We had Virginia, and then we have a bunch of ACC stuff, and this next one is an amazing final. It is not you're not mishearing when you hear this. Virginia Tech beat NC State 47-24. Now, it's not often in 2019 you can win a college basketball game scoring 47 points. It's also not often you can almost double your opponent. But never, since the shot clock came in what, 85, I think it was, has anybody been a ranked team and only scored as little as 24 points. NC State was ranked 23 today going into that.
I think the record, Chris, was 30 before today.
Right.
Yes, so it was. Yes.
47-24, Virginia Tech all over the, and that was at NC State, too.
They will be falling out of the rankings.
Yes, they will.
Yes.
They lost earlier this week, too, I think. Florida State beat Georgia Tech 59-49. Notre Dame beat BC 79-73. North Carolina avenged their horrible loss 3 weeks ago by beating Louisville in Louisville, so they each won the road game, 79-69, the Tar Heels over the Cardinals. Virginia beat Miami 56-46. Then we go to West Virginia over Oklahoma, 79-71. South Florida beat Memphis, 84-78. Kent State beat Ball State, 83-80 in overtime. Butler over Seton Hall, 70-68. Ohio State beat Rutgers, 76-62. We had South Carolina over Georgia, 86-80. And Iowa State knocked off Texas. And these are two of Perry's, one of Perry's schools is Iowa State, and Sean's school is Texas. Iowa State beat Texas, 65-61. You guys have any comments on that?
Well, basically, Texas, after they come off of beating Kansas, they do that. They play good for one game, and they screw it up for five more. This is what they're doing now. They go. And now, it was in Iowa State, and they did battle back. They got it down. They even took the lead at one point, but, I mean, still. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Southern Illinois beat Bradley.
Iowa State is a very tough home place. That's a tough place.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Southern Illinois over Bradley, 72-68. Wichita State finally won again. They've been struggling this year. Wichita State beat Tulsa, 79-68. Illinois over Nebraska, 71-64. We had DePaul beating Providence, 67-55. They actually played last Sunday in Providence. Providence won that one. DePaul returned the favor in Chicago. We had one that Perry could comment on. The basketball egg, but I don't know, what do they call it? Is it an egg ball or just a ball bowl? What are they?
It's the egg. Anyway, in football, it's the egg bowl.
Okay, basketball, it's just a basketball game, I guess. Mississippi State beat Mississippi 81-75. Any thoughts on that, Perry?
From what I understand, I didn't hear much of the game, but it sounds like Ole Miss was out-toughed at home by the Bulldogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's not a good thing. Okay, Kansas beat Texas Tech 79-63, Kentucky over Florida 65-54, Washington beat UCLA 69-55, we had Rhode Island over St. Louis 65-54 at Rhode Island, St. Joe's beat UMass in Philadelphia 64-62, and the last final I had before we came on the air, Oregon State over Utah was 81-72, and of course there's more games being played tonight. And
another one out of the Missouri Valley, Chris Drake 68, Indiana State 62.
Okay.
All right.
So any overall thoughts on college basketball before we move on to hockey?
Oh, I mean, it's going crazy. I mean, like I said, the Big 12, Iowa State, Kansas. I mean, I watched that Kansas after that loss to Texas and just basically blowing out Texas Tech was not really in that game at all. I watched part of that one. I mean, you know, that one really surprised, not that they won, but the margin that they won. And then, I mean, that 47-24.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a football score.
They shot 17% for the game.
Correct.
That's all.
We have two hands raised. Let's start with Pierre and then Jerry, you're next.
Sure. Yeah. LSU made the top 20 in basketball this week for the first time in many, many moons. I'm glad to see that.
Probably what, Pierre, since the Big Baby Davis era?
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Super Bowls, of course, the Saints only have one, but that Tracy Porter interception in the fourth quarter that cinched the game, that I'll always remember that. But the Saints fans suffered through many years. In fact, I used to say I was a glutton for punishment because at one time I was a Saints fan and a Cubs fan, and neither one of them had won in many moons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one other Super Bowl highlight we should mention was the electricity malfunction in New Orleans.
Yes.
Remember that one?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right.
The Blackout Bowl.
Blackout Bowl when San Francisco was playing the Ravens. Right, the Ravens and San Francisco came back. After that blackout, it got the 49ers going. They almost won that game.
And right. By the way, folks, in a couple weeks when it starts back again, Pierre will be hooking us up with all your NASCAR stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's our NASCAR reporter.
Jerry.
Okay.
Jerry, go ahead.
Jerry.
I just wanted to come in with the Pitt-Syracuse score. Pitt lost yet again. They were down by like 15. They tried to come back in the second half. They lost to Syracuse 65-56.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tough year for Pitt. And BC, that was a disappointing loss. The ACC, as I kind of read those standings last week, they're kind of divided. There's like four or five teams down near the bottom and four or five near the top and a few in the middle. But when you don't beat the ones you should, like Notre Dame when you're home, that's disappointing. And Syracuse is a very good team. So that you didn't really expect Pitt to win that one. But, yeah, it's a tough year for Pitt, tough year for BC. Okay, the NHL, here we go. And Robert can come in and comment maybe when we
The Robert and Chris show. The Robert and Chris show. Now the rest of us are all going to sleep.
Oh, all right. Here we go. In the Atlantic Division, and I hope I got these right. I had to retool the standings because our guy who gets them for him, Bill from Colmar, California, he always tries to get us the divisions, and sometimes they're not available. So if I put somebody in the wrong division, Robert will be quick to point that out. Okay, the Atlantic Division. And remember, I just give the point totals, 2 points for a win, 1 point for an overtime loss or a shootout loss. Tampa Bay in the Atlantic Division with 78. Toronto, 63, number two. Montreal, 61, is third. The Bruins are at 61 in fourth place. Buffalo, 56, Florida, 48, Detroit, 47, and Ottawa, 43. In the Metropolitan Division, we have the Islanders at 64, Washington at 62, Pittsburgh, 62, Columbus, 59, Carolina, 56, the Rangers are at 51, Philadelphia, 50, and New Jersey, 45. playoff pairings in the East right now, Tampa Bay, what happens is the top team in each division plays the two wild card teams, and then the 2 and 3 teams in the divisions play. So right now, Tampa Bay would be meeting Columbus, and then in the Atlantic Division, Toronto would be playing Montreal, hosting that. Then the Islanders, the top team in the Metro, would be playing the Bruins, and Washington, number 2 in the Metro, would be playing Pittsburgh. In the Central Division, Winnipeg has 68, Nashville 66, Dallas 56, Minnesota 55, Colorado 52, St. Louis 49, Chicago 47. And in the Pacific, Calgary 71, San Jose 65, Vegas Golden Knights 62, Vancouver 52, Anaheim 51, Arizona 50, Edmonton 49, and the Kings 44. In the West, the pairings would be Calgary at the top of their division would be meeting either Colorado or Vancouver, as I see it. One of those teams, I don't know what their tiebreakers are. One of them would be playing Calgary right now. San Jose is the number 2 seed. They'd be playing the Vegas Golden Knights. And in the Central Division, Winnipeg would be playing Minnesota. And the number 2 and 3 is Nashville and Dallas. Then we had a couple of finals earlier today. Philadelphia beat Edmonton 5-4 in overtime. And the Devils beat Montreal 3-2 in overtime. Montreal always plays day games the day before the Super Bowl and Super Sunday. And then for tonight, at 7, these games began. Anaheim at Winnipeg, Pittsburgh at Toronto, Detroit at Ottawa, Vegas Golden Knights at the Panthers, Florida Panthers. The Kings were at the Islanders, St. Louis at Columbus. This is the first full day back, pretty much. A lot of teams were off all week. They took their bye week after the All-Star break, so a lot of people getting back into action last night and tonight, too. Then at 8 tonight, we have, for the primetime, actually we got a good primetime sports lineup because you've got on NBC, Tampa Bay and the Rangers are playing, or Chicago and Minnesota. It's regionalized in the Midwest. They'll see Chicago and Minnesota. In the East, they'll see Tampa Bay and the Rangers. So you can either do hockey on NBC, you can do NFL awards starting at 9 o'clock on CBS, or you can do NBA basketball on ABC with the Warriors and the Lakers. And then we've got Dallas and Nashville, also at 8 o'clock. 10 o'clock, we have Vancouver and Colorado. And at 10:30, we have Arizona and San Jose. So there you go. And your Sports Sunday gets off to a good start tomorrow. Actually, Boston's got a big day. We've got the Bruins going to play Washington at 12:30. And we've got the Celtics hosting Oklahoma City here, the traditional Super Bowl afternoon game. And that'll be at, I forget whether it's 2 or 2:30. And then, of course, the Patriots. So all three of our teams that are playing right now will be in action tomorrow. And really, I don't mind a 2 out of 3 loss if the right one wins, which would be the Patriots. But hey, we'd like to win all three if we can, but we'll see. Okay, so that's about it for hockey.
I guess how much time we have left here.
Any thoughts? We have about a couple minutes here. But we were going to cover one more thing, and Bill, I want to bring you in to do that. We wanted to talk about The Athletic, which everybody knows what The Athletic is. It's a subscription-based sports site that you can read sports. So, Bill, we want to bring you in to talk a little bit about The Athletic.
Very cool. It's a great program. You can use it on your iPhone or on a PC. It's very accessible. You can hit a button that will read the story to you. Just hit a button and it goes in the voice, whatever your phone's in, will read it nonstop without all the graphics and the pictures and all that stuff. Very informative. I got the first subscription for the first 3 months for $1. After that, it's $59 a year. But I get baseball, NFL, auto racing, and you can tailor to the sports headlines that you need or want from your local area. So it is great. If you're a Boston fan, you're on it. If you like the Rams, whatever the case may be, it is well worth the money.
And they have a lot of big-time writers. I mean, you have I know Ken Rosenthal writes for them in baseball, Jim Bowden in baseball, and in the other sports they have big-time writers, too.
He broke the Ohio State story on his way to The Athletic from ESPN. Name escapes me, and I was trying to remember that last night, but there's a bunch of them that have gone to The Athletic. I mean, it's a very much up-and-coming site.
For especially somebody that's visually impaired, if you just want to read stories and not get caught up in all the clutter and all the nonsense, like it's on a lot of websites, this is your ticket, and you really like sports like we do. Mm-hmm. It is worth it. Here, I see Sean, it's about time to turn it over to you. I know you've been looking forward to this for months.
Well, first of all, we want to thank everybody for coming. We're sorry we didn't get the full extent of Robert. We're losing him next week because he goes back to his real podcast, you know, which he will be doing tomorrow, by the way, tomorrow in the daytime, so you'll be able to download it early. And main reason, always welcome anytime as a panelist. Man, it's cool having him here, plus myself, Chris, Perry, Bill. Pierre, we're all going to be back next Sunday at the regular time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, 5 Pacific, of course. If you want to leave a comment, question, criticism throughout, 773-572-7715. Do not mark the message private. You can listen by going to legendoldies.com. You can also, on your Victor, all that, download worldwide, all one word, space, legend. And then select Sports Lounge Live. You can listen to us that way. Also, the conversation station, 712-432-6499, hit 4, and then 2. And we are podcast number 2. Like I said, hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl. Hope it's a great game. We got Pam Stevens, the Legend Jukebox, coming up next with all of your requests. I think I even have a few requests coming on in a little while, I think. Probably I've got a couple. So
is that all you can do for Pam? Can't you do any better than that for Pam Stevens?
Well, okay. She does a great show. Last week, especially for me, is my favorite week of the month that she does, because it's 70s week, you know. I mean, this time it's all the stuff. So even she's playing stuff for you old guys this week. And
yeah.
Then, you know,
okay.
the end of the month is my favorite. But she sneaks in some 80s stuff for some of us throughout the rest of the month. She does a good job there. I mean, she's one of the hardworking DJs along with Steve Nomer and Bill.
Yeah,
and
this show is on at midnight Eastern. Hey, Baby, they're playing our song, one of the most popular shows. It's probably one of the most popular shows when you think about it, in the middle of the night anywhere, because, you know, people are listening all over the place.
He ranks up with Coast to Coast. They're like the top two in the
country.
That's
right. That's right. But he doesn't believe, I don't think, in as many conspiracies anyway. So
no, he doesn't have
thing.
UFOs going all over. And he's
right,
not.
Right.
And east of the Rockies and west of the Rockies call the same phone number.
All right, well, we got to go. Thank you very much, guys.
We're out of here.
Enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody.